and it got worse in the aftermath of the battle. Let's just look at the aftermath in the Army for a while. Burnside was not a good administrator, apart from not being a good battlefield tactician. He didn't do the things that you need to do as an Army commander. He failed to have supplies flow to the Army the way they should. His men actually ran short of uniforms and food and medicine. They weren't paid on time. There was tremendous administrative chaos in the Army of the Potomac in late December and into January 1863. Desertions reached 200 men a day in the Union Army, and the men somehow knew that although there were warehouses nearby bulging with goods, their Army commander couldn't get those supplies to them. Discipline was lax. Many of Burnside's subordinates began to complain behind his back. They talked to members of Congress. They sent word to Lincoln that they weren't happy with how Burnside was doing as an Army commander. One of the principal lieutenants doing this was Joseph Hooker, who was letting it be known in Washington that he thought he would do a whole lot better job than Burnside was doing. In the end, Lincoln decided that Burnside had to go, and he replaced him with Joseph Hooker. Fighting Joe, as he was known in the press, it was a nickname that he hated, absolutely detested it. It had come from a typographical error in a newspaper account earlier in the war. The account had meant to read fighting, dash, Joe Hooker did this or that. They omitted the dash and it came out fighting Joe Hooker did whatever it was he was doing, and the name stuck, much to Hooker's chagrin. Hooker had intrigued against Burnside. He'd made rash statements about how the nation needed a dictator to win the war, the implication being that perhaps he'd be a fine one if he were selected. Lincoln let Hooker know that he was aware of all of this, that he was aware of the maneuvering, that he was aware of the statements Hooker was making. He added, did Lincoln, only generals who gain success can set up dictators. What I now ask of you is military success. I will risk the dictatorship. Let's move on to Hooker's tenure as Army commander. He's a West Pointer, another one of our West Pointers, a handsome man, a bachelor. Cut a wide swath through the social scene of the Army. He liked women very much. He was seen in the company of good-looking women so often, in fact, that the rumor spread in the Army that the term hooker, to apply to a prostitute, came from Joseph Hooker's name. It didn't. That term much predates Hooker. But the point is, people believed it did because Hooker ran a very convivial headquarters and seemed to be a man who wasn't averse to having a good time himself or letting other people have a good time. He had showed himself to be a hard fighter in the past. He'd been wounded at Antietam. He'd fought in the Seven Days. Now he proved to be a brilliant organizer. He was good at all the things that Burnside had showed himself not to be good at. Food and medicine flowed to the Army. Camps were cleaned up. Medical care improved dramatically. The number of men on sick leave dropped dramatically. Pay came to the soldiers. Drill was increased and improved, and the men's spirits lifted. Soon Hooker bragged that he had the finest army on the planet. This is the very best one, he said, in this continent or any other continent. He said that it really wasn't a question of whether he was going to capture Richmond. It was only a question of when he was going to capture Richmond. He said he hoped God would have mercy on Robert E. Lee because he, Joe Hooker, was not going to have mercy on Robert E. Lee. These kinds of statements raised a red flag with Abraham Lincoln and many people behind the lines. Lincoln resorted to one of his sort of rural stories to make his point when he heard that Hooker had been talking this way, bragging all the great things that he was going to do. Lincoln said that it had always been his experience that, and I'll quote his anecdote here, the hen is the wisest of all the animal creation because she never cackles until the egg is laid. A hen at least will wait till she's produced something. Hooker's cackling plenty, and he hasn't produced anything on the battlefield yet. The one point that Lincoln emphasized to Hooker was that when you do come to grips with the enemy, put in all of your men. We're giving you this magnificent army. Use it. Use all of it. Lincoln and Halleck also urged Hooker to make Lee's army rather than Richmond his chief objective. Lincoln knew how important victories were to the Northern public, and he knew especially how much they looked toward what happened in the East to decide whether the war was going well or not. What he wanted from Hooker was a clear victory over Lee's army, a victory that would